अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवम्। साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च। आजानुलंबित भुजौ कनकावदातौ संकीर्तनैकपितरौ कमलायताक्षौ विश्वम्भरौ द्विजवरौ युगधर्मपालौ वन्दे जगत्प्रियकरौ करुणावतारो। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते। जयतां सुरतो पंगोर मम मंद मतिर्गति मत्सर्वस्य पदां भोजो राधा मदन मोहन। दिव्वद वृंदारण्य कल्पद्रुमाध श्रीमद्रत्नागार सिंहासनस्थो श्रीमद्राधा श्रील गोविंद देवो पृष्ठलिभि सेव्यमानो स्मरामि। श्रीमान् रास रसारंभी वंशी वट तटस्थित कर्षन वेणु सनैर्गोपी गोपीनाथ श्रियस्तु नः। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमः ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे, निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चत्तादिशुतारिणे। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद, श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। I generally try to avoid this Vyas Puja. This morning also I was talking about that. That my understanding or my feeling is that let all the worship go to Srila Prabhupada. When you all were chanting Jai Gurudeva, Jai Gurudeva, I was also chanting Jai Gurudeva, Jai Gurudeva. And I had a wonderful feeling that you all were chanting this Jai Gurudeva, addressing Srila Prabhupada. Just as by watering the root of the tree, the whole tree gets nourished. By worshipping Srila Prabhupada, everyone will feel happy in ISKCON. Anyway, so I am here accepting the Vyas Puja. In a way, I have been compelled not only by my disciples to accept this occasion of worship. Even some of my god brothers also persuaded that I should take. And yes, by being persuaded by them, I am accepting it. But actually, our role is to be the via medium. Via medium, through the medium. When everything passes through the medium, then it is a via medium. But when it doesn't pass through, then it's not medium. The electric current passes through copper cable. It's a medium. But if there is a wooden rod connected to the source of electricity, the electricity won't pass through the wood. And the wood will not be considered as via medium. So via medium means that passes through. So, in our spiritual context, our role is to become not only the via medium, but transparent via medium. Transparent. What is the meaning of the word transparent? When light completely passes through, that is transparent. When some light passes through, but some other light doesn't pass through, some rays pass through but others not, then it is not transparent. Then it is translucent. And when no light passes through, then it is opaque. So here we are supposed to be transparent. That means nothing should stop. Everything should be offered to our Guru, Srila Prabhupada. Whatever we do should be exclusively for Srila Prabhupada. Whatever we get should be exclusively for Srila Prabhupada. And once one godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, gave a very beautiful understanding of the role of being a guru. He gave the understanding that the role of a guru in a sampradaya is not to just be transparent, but become like a lens. A lens has to be transparent, but something more. What does the lens do? It brings a distant object closer. So actually the guru's role is not to be just transparent via medium, but like a lens. The distant object should be brought close together, but brought close. Like say for example, Srila Prabhupada is far away from you all. You haven't seen Prabhupada, most of you. So Prabhupada is far away, Prabhupada is distant. Now being between you and Srila Prabhupada, my role is to bring Prabhupada closer to you. That is the role of a guru. And now if we look at this context, then we can see a telescope. You know what a telescope is? Telescope has a set of lenses. And more the lens, the more powerful the telescope. So much so that a powerful telescope can make us see a distant star. So powerful. So in our spiritual context, more these lenses we have, better it is for us. The more lenses means more spiritual personalities to perceive Krishna. And that is our disciplic succession. There are rows, series of acharyas, series of gurus. And what they are doing, are they obscuring our vision? Or they're enhancing our vision. When we read Srila Prabhupada's books, what do we get? Srila Prabhupada is giving, in his purport, Srila Prabhupada is giving the conclusion of all our acharyas in our sampradaya. Their conclusion is presented. And the result is, Krishna has become so close. Although Krishna is so far away, there is no way we can see Krishna. With our mundane eyes, we won't be able to see Krishna. But through the teachings of our acharyas, Krishna becomes so close. So this is the important thing that we have to understand when we assume the role of a spiritual master, that our business is first to become transparent. And that means everything should pass through. Whatever you are offering, my business is to offer that to Srila Prabhupada. And in exchange, I am giving you Srila Prabhupada. Or at least I can say I'm trying to give you all Srila Prabhupada. More we think about Srila Prabhupada, we can see that what an amazing personality Srila Prabhupada is. And what an amazing achievement Srila Prabhupada had. The other day, I was in America, and there are some important people that I came across from Canada. They're very important persons, very successful individuals, quite young. They were in the mid-30s. But very successful individuals. And I was telling them about Srila Prabhupada's achievement. At the age of 70, Srila Prabhupada came to America. When Srila Prabhupada went to America, he didn't know anybody there. And on top of everything, Prabhupada didn't have any money with him. And right at that point, they actually exclaimed, "Wow, what an adventurous personality." I mean, at the age of 70, goes to America without knowing anybody and without money. They were actually exclaiming that what a courage this personality had. And then as I started to explain what Srila Prabhupada achieved and how Srila Prabhupada achieved, a single man in the city of New York, just convinced completely about the statement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted 500 years ago that this Krishna consciousness movement is going to spread throughout the world in every town and village. That was his source of inspiration and conviction. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his words are not going to go in vain. The words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead must happen, must become a reality. It is with that conviction Srila Prabhupada actually went. And then we started to see how it started to unfold. Srila Prabhupada alone with a kartal sitting under a tree in Tompkins Square Park chanting Hare Krishna. What a courage, 70-year-old man in totally unknown atmosphere chanting Hare Krishna. A person like that in India would be considered a beggar. Only we see that the beggars do that. Chant Hare Krishna to get certain donation. But the scene in America was different. People gathered around. Oh, a new sight. They have never seen a thing like that before. An Indian person, old Indian person sitting there and singing so beautifully. And one thing with the Americans, they love music. They love music. So they gathered around. And then what did Srila Prabhupada do? Did Srila Prabhupada tell them, can you please give me $1 or $2 as donation? No. You know what Prabhupada said? Not at that time. I'll come to that. Like Prabhupada started to give the knowledge. What is this chanting? This is mantra. This sound is not a sound of this world. This sound is coming from the spiritual world. And this sound is meant to purify everything. Purify the individual's heart and to purify the entire atmosphere. As far as the sound of this chanting will go, the whole atmosphere will become purified. And those who chant, their hearts will become purified. And they responded. Some people became interested. And Prabhupada by that time had a small little storefront. And Prabhupada invited them, come. A small little shop that has been turned into a place for preaching. That also with the help of some young Americans that Prabhupada got that place. And they came and Prabhupada started to teach Bhagavad Gita. And many of them admitted afterwards to me that they were not interested in Bhagavad Gita. They didn't go to those sessions to listen to the instructions or wisdom of Bhagavad Gita. They went there to make music with Swami. Their interest was just the music. And they started to come and they would also sing with Srila Prabhupada. And they started to bring their instruments. Some came with guitar, some came with their electric bongo, some came with clarinets and other such musical instruments. And they would make music. And then Prabhupada would speak. They didn't understand the wisdom of Bhagavad Gita. But something was very appealing to this personality. They saw that this personality is extremely sincere. This personality is their real well-wisher. And then after the class, Srila Prabhupada would cut some apples into small pieces and give them as prasad. So that's how he started Krishna consciousness movement. And the first lecture that Prabhupada gave in America, a public lecture, you know what was Prabhupada's opening statement? What did Prabhupada say? At the beginning, Prabhupada's statement was, I haven't come here to teach anything new to you. I haven't come here to teach anything new to you. I have come here to remind you about something that you have forgotten. See, what an amazing approach. What an amazing vision. Srila Prabhupada was not thinking that you do not know and I have to tell you, I have to teach you. Prabhupada's statement was that I have come here to remind you of something that you have forgotten. See, look at Prabhupada's vision. You are a spirit soul. You are a part and parcel of Krishna. You are with Krishna, but you have forgotten Krishna. Now, I simply have come here to remind you, Krishna, who is your dearmost object, the most lovable object, who is there in your heart. who is there to take care of you in all respects. Anyway, so this is how Srila Prabhupada started this movement in America. These young boys and girls became attracted to Srila Prabhupada. And they started to come closer, getting closer and closer and closer to Srila Prabhupada. Some of the boys didn't want to go anywhere. They wanted to be with Prabhupada all the time. But Prabhupada had just a small little apartment and the storefront in the front. And they said, we'll sleep in the storefront. And they moved in there. These Americans are coming from very, very wealthy background. They had their, you know, very comfortable homes, but they moved into this very austere first ashram of ISKCON. A little storefront. Fortunately, that had one bathroom, but no shower. They used to go for a shower to a public area to take shower. And this is how they became attracted to Srila Prabhupada. And not only became attracted, they were just prepared to give everything to Srila Prabhupada. And this is how Srila Prabhupada started it in New York. Then Srila Prabhupada sent some of his disciples to San Francisco to start it there. And that was, then from then onwards, it was a history. Hare Krishna explosion. One newspaper article came in one San Francisco newspapers. The Hare Krishna explosion. Explosion? And it just creates, their point was that this Hare Krishna movement is growing in such a way that it looked like an explosion. Hare Krishna explosion. And then it started to spread in different parts of America. Different cities, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Chicago, Detroit, Toronto, Montreal. And then three couples wanted to go to London to start there. And they also wanted to follow Srila Prabhupada's footsteps. Just as Prabhupada came to America without any resources, they also ventured to go to London without resources. They didn't know anybody in London. And they also didn't have the money to fly from New York to, at that time actually they were from in Montreal. They went to Montreal to see Srila Prabhupada and from there they flew. They didn't have the money to go to London because flying London would have costed more. But there are some cheap flights those days to Amsterdam. Actually, it was not really Amsterdam. It was, anyway, another airport, I forgot the name. Anyway, so from there they came to Amsterdam
to go across the channel to go to London. But when they came there, they found that in order to enter into UK, although they don't need any visa, but they have to show a certain amount of money. But they didn't have enough money for six of them to go there. So what did they do? They got all their money together. One couple went to London and then sent the money back to Amsterdam for the second couple to go. And in this way, three couples went to London. They didn't know anybody. And the way they went, they didn't have the money to even stay in a hotel. So they befriended some Indians from East Africa. So they were staying with them. They were just emigrants due to Idi Amin's onslaught. Many Indians went to London from Uganda and Kenya. So anyway, they were staying with them. But those families that they were staying with, even they were not interested about listening to them. Who would want to listen about Indian philosophy, Vedic wisdom, from a group of young Americans? At least the Indians would have been the last one to listen to them. Because general tendency of the Indians is, though, I know everything. What do we have to learn? Maybe you should learn from me. But they didn't realize the wisdom that they received from Srila Prabhupada. And then they met George Harrison, one of the four Beatles. The Beatles were the most prominent music group in the world at that time. The whole world, the youth of whole world was vibrant with the Beatle music. And so those days, actually they were struggling, these six devotees, three boys and three girls, their wives. They were struggling to spread Krishna consciousness, but no response. The one day they saw the picture of the Beatles wearing Indian clothes. The Beatles actually became attracted to Ravi Shankar's music, sitar, and Mahesh Jogi's yoga. So they came to India to learn yoga from Mahesh Jogi in Rishikesh. And they were also learning sitar from Ravi Shankar. So when they went back, they were actually sometimes wearing Indian dress. Kurta pajama, not dhoti. Kurta pajama. So they got the idea, why don't you approach the Beatles? Beatles are receptive to Indian thing. They already went to India to learn yoga. So we can probably teach them. I'm just narrating this just to point out that how Krishna actually is making all the arrangements for this movement to spread. So they wanted to go but to meet the Beatles those days was very difficult because they were so prominent. They're so important. They're so famous. It's very difficult. So they were wondering how to get an audience with the Beatles. Then one of the devotees, Shamsundar Prabhu, met one of his acquaintances from San Francisco. He was the manager of a rock music group called the Grateful Dead. His name was Rock Scally. So Shamsundar Prabhu met Rock Scally, and when he asked, "Hey Rock Scally, what are you doing here?" He said, "I came to meet the Beatles, to sign some contract with them on behalf of Grateful Dead." And So Shyamasundar asked, "Can you please introduce me to the Beatles?" He said, "Yeah, sure, I'll do that. You come on such and such day to Apple Studio and I'll introduce you." So Shyamasundar goes there to the studio. But the gatekeeper, the guard, won't let him in. Asked him, "Do you have an appointment?" He said, "Yes, I have an appointment at such and such with Roxkelly. I have come here." So he said, "Look, I don't have any such appointment here." So he wouldn't let him. So Shyamasundar was dressed in dhoti and kurta, Indian dress. So probably the gatekeeper was not very impressed. So he wouldn't let him in. But at that time, one of the Beatles' name is John Lennon. John Lennon was married to a Japanese lady called Yoko Ono. So Yoko Ono just arrived there. And she was going in, she saw Shyamasundar Prabhu dressed in dhoti and kurta, American, but dressed in dhoti and kurta. So she says, "Oh, you must be a friend of John." And Shyamasundar says, "Yes, yes." So Yoko Ono says, "Come on in." So he goes there. He's inside and waiting for Roxkelly to come. And in the meantime, George Harrison, one of the Beatles, those Beatles are four: George Harrison, John Lennon, Paul McCartney, and Ringo Starr. So George Harrison just comes out from his chamber and he sees Shyamasundar Prabhu sitting there. And he goes to him and he says, "Hey, where you been all this while? I saw you all guys in San Francisco. But since then I've been trying to find you, but I couldn't find you anywhere." So George Harrison saw the devotees chanting in the streets of San Francisco, Hare Krishna, and he was so impressed that he wanted to contact these devotees. And now when he sees Shyamasundar Prabhu, he is just thrilled. And that's how it all started. See, Shyamasundar Prabhu meeting Roxkelly, John Lennon's wife, Yoko Ono, sees him, takes him inside, and George Harrison comes and says, "Hey, where you guys been all this while?" And that was the beginning. George Harrison invited them to his house. And they started to tell him about Srila Prabhupada, his teachings. And they gave George Harrison the taste of Indian food. They already, by that time, they learned how to cook Indian way from Srila Prabhupada. They also were, and so that's how it all began. And you know what George Harrison did? George Harrison made a record called My Sweet Lord with Hare Krishna Mahamantra in it, singing, glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. "I really want to see you. I really want to be with you, my Lord." And that album went all over the world. And Hare Krishna movement became known all over the world. I'll tell you, at that time, in 71, I think it was 70 or 71, I was in Germany and I had an American friend, Bill McCabe, And Bill, during the summer vacation, he went home. And when he came back, he had a gift for me. A cassette. Those days there were no CDs and etc. Cassettes were the thing that. And that was My Sweet Lord. George had the Beatles singing My Sweet Lord. And he thought it's because it has the Indian music in it, then I would like it. And in a way, I also had the experience how famous that album became all over the world. So then, let's consider George Harrison's contributions. Srila Prabhupada translated the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in Krishna book. George Harrison sponsored the printing of that Krishna book. In 3 volumes, this book was printed in the best printing press in Japan called Dai Nippon. And it was those days, you can imagine, like when our movement was so young, to have such a gorgeous publication. Beautiful, about this big, hardbound, beautiful pictures. Then George Harrison bought one property in London, North London. How many of you are from London here? Okay, so you all are familiar with that. And that is our Bhakti Vedanta Manor. That was actually given by George Harrison. It's a beautiful property. That time, that property had 17 acres of land. But today, we have about 100 acres of land in that property. So, this is how Krishna actually had been making these arrangements. Krishna had been arranging through different individuals for this movement to grow. And so many famous people became attracted. Like, one of the first ones actually was the Beatles. George Harrison, John Lennon, he had a big mansion in London. And he invited Prabhupada to stay in his mansion, in his house. Prabhupada stayed there. They were very, very much affected by Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And then we can see that in just 4-5 years' time, literally this movement spread all over the world. Literally all over the world. In Europe, from London, went to France, Switzerland, Germany, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, Austria, just started to spread everywhere in Europe. Then it went to Australia. Hundreds of devotees became attracted to Srila Prabhupada's teachings. A very beautiful book has been written by one of my godbrothers in Australia, Kurma Prabhu. Beautifully described how Hare Krishna movement spread in Australia. And it was the youth who actually came forward to support this movement, spread this movement, and became an integral part of the movement, offering themselves completely into this mission. So, America, Europe, Australia, will India be left out? No. Srila Prabhupada came to India. And it created a sensation. Like, it was a big thing to see the American Vaishnavas. American Vaishnavas. And you know where our movement those days got an enormous reception? You'll be happy to know it was in Surat. The other day I was watching a video. It was an amazing sight. The devotees were chanting and people were just going wild. They were throwing flowers from their houses, balconies. People were not only on the streets, they were on the balconies, they were on the roof, just watching the Western devotees chanting. And Prabhupada used to call that, his Western devotees, as a dancing, his dancing white elephants. Prabhupada explained, actually in India, no one was interested in spiritual life. But at least they became interested to see these Americans. And many of them became attracted. Oh, the Americans are accepting it, so we must also accept it. If the Americans accept it, there must be something in it. Actually, this is an interesting thing to know. I was about to say unfortunate thing, but I won't say unfortunate, but interesting thing to know that all the Indian commodities have to come from the West. Then only Indians give the recognition. Indian things, when it has an European or American stamp, oh, zarur achcha hoga. So, that Krishna consciousness movement, because it got the American appeal, naturally got some appeal in India. But to tell you frankly, not many Indians actually joined those days. The Indian business people and others were giving support, but they were becoming life members, but not full-time devotees. Anyway, so that is how India also, like then Malaysia, Singapore, all the other parts, gave the response. Now, which continent is left? Africa. And you know what happened? There was a young American boy. He was 19 years old, just out of school, and he became attracted to Srila Prabhupada. And in Mayapur, he was seeing, he was in 64, he was seeing that all these very big, powerful leaders are surrounding Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada gave recognition to those who achieved something for him, who is in spreading Krishna consciousness. So he was thinking that, how can I impress Srila Prabhupada so that I also can be like them, be with him, be around him? And he was looking at the map and he was thinking all possible places have been taken over. Then he noticed that one place, South Africa, because South Africa is actually European. It's part of Africa, but it's actually like Europe. So he decided to go to South Africa. So he went to Srila Prabhupada and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, nothing is happening in Africa. I want to go to Africa and preach there. Prabhupada was very happy to see his spirit. So Prabhupada said, fine. Yes, you go there. And Prabhupada asked another devotee to join him. So together they went. Now see another, intervention by Krishna. They also didn't know anybody. They're going to South Africa. And were in the flight, there was one Indian gentleman. And they started to talk. And that Indian gentleman turned out to be a jeweler, a Gujarati jeweler from Durban. And he said, okay, you come, you stay at my place. And he introduced them to all the other important Indians. Then Prabhupada went to South Africa. And this is how it started to grow in South Africa. And our movement is extremely well received in South Africa. And how long did it take for all this to happen? About 9 to 10 years. Krishna consciousness movement spread. And it's in Africa, it's not only South Africa, in East Africa, eastern part of Africa, it was Uganda and Kenya, mainly in Kenya, got a big response because there were large Indian, wherever there's a large Indian community, there had been a very, very wonderful response. So, this is how this movement actually spread. And when we go deep into it, then we can see what an amazing happening. Like the way it happened. Srila Prabhupada going there at the age of 70 with no money, no resources. The only source of income that Prabhupada had there is 3 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, printed first, second, and the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in 3 volumes. Prabhupada printed and took them there. And he used to go out and distribute those books. Initially, that's how actually Prabhupada was maintaining himself. And briefly I mentioned the other day also to you all that I think it was yesterday. I was telling that sometimes, although Srila Prabhupada was so humble, sometimes it looked like Prabhupada also was so proud. So quite arrogant in a way. And I was giving the example. I was sitting at Srila Prabhupada in his quarters in Bombay, Juhu, facing the temple, just sitting there. And Prabhupada just told me, I am the richest man in this world. So see, he goes to America, penniless, in 65. And in 77, he is telling me that he is the richest man in the world. And indeed he was the richest man. He had 10,000 followers. Who has 10,000 followers? The wealth is not only in money. The wealth is in individuals' commitment. And of course, Srila Prabhupada had wealth. Like so many temples already was built. The Bombay temple was a landmark. It's a beautiful piece of architectural achievement. Bombay, Vrindavan, Mayapur, Hyderabad. So in India, Prabhupada had already 5-6 temples and so many centers. And what to speak of more than, at least those days, more than 30 temples in America. And big temples. We are buying off the churches and turning them into temples. How many of you have been to Toronto? So you have seen our temple there. Like it's in the one of the most prominent streets in Canada, in Toronto. And right there we have this beautiful marble, beautiful stone building, which used to be a church at one time. So this is how this movement spread. And how can such a thing happen without the blessings and mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? It is the Supreme Personality of Godhead that makes impossible possible. It has become a reality simply due to His mercy, and it becomes absolutely clear that Krishna sent Srila Prabhupada to fulfill His prediction. This Krishna consciousness movement is meant to spread all over the world in every town and village. Srila Prabhupada ki.